Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation. In other words, we help you save money, invest, technically preserve wealth in what in a traditional, timeless, biblical manner and method, which is what rare coins and precious metals do for you. I know there's people that are confused on the term rare coin. Sounds scary. You think you're buying a coin that's the price of a house. It's not the case at all. There's three categories. There's bullion. There's semi-numismatic and numismatic. Semi-numismatic is a very broad range of items that have collectability, but their pricing doesn't reflect it appropriately, and we believe that's where your best value lies. We built rare coin, numismatic, whatever. Coin and precious metals portfolios is our thing. We're extremely active in the purchase and sale of all forms of gold and silver. To be completely frank, we've probably maintained the strongest consistent inventory of precious metals during all the COVID madness of anyone I know of, and that's the truth, and that's a praise the Lord special because of years and years of incredible relationships we've developed. I have some relationships with World Mints that are just a huge blessing. They're business relationships, but they're friendships. They're deep, deep friendships that no one else can rival. And so it doesn't mean like if I'm in tight with the Royal Canadian Mint, which I am, it doesn't mean that it's just Canadian product. They get, and other mints, the Perth Mint in Australia, and I don't deal with Chinese mint, but, you know, they get products from the U.S. Mint before anyone on the Type 2 Silver Eagles when they came out in 21. We had them a month before anyone else. We sold like 50,000 of them before they called and said, hey, you got to hold off another week. These aren't supposed to be released yet. So a lot of our clients were able to secure those well, well below market value. A lot of those items now have gotten extremely difficult to locate and very expensive. And so we're just thankful for that. And we obviously specialize in rare coins. That is kind of a, like I said, a low, a loaded term for people. They get afraid of it. They're like, I don't want rare coins. And we don't. The thing that we do is we sell products based on what we believe in and what we like and what we would want ourselves. When we do substantial portfolios, we certainly balance them out with everything. And there's so many products that have performed so well. I've done a lot of portfolios, but even crazy things like high grade, nice quality mercury dimes that were, you know, at one time $4 a piece. Now they're 14 or 15 bucks for, you know, and that's just over the last few years. I sold thousands into one portfolio, and we do just a balance. It depends on the portfolio. A lot of it, in my opinion, is based on a little bit of faith and trust. I was reading today in Proverbs 11, and it kind of rang true with me. I want to look through this here. I'm going to pull it up because I don't like misquoting scripture. I like to quote it properly. And there we go. It's important because, you know, it's about integrity and righteousness. But what is it here? It's basically saying how everyone says they have such a great reputation, or let's see. Oh, boy, I'll find it. Here's one that's not what I'm looking for. This is Our Nation. Where there is no guidance, a.k.a. Joseph R. Biden, the people will fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Folks, Trump surrounded himself with an abundance of counselors. He wanted truth. I know people that sat in the Oval Office, or I know a person anyway, that basically claimed, you know, that he was just obsessed with getting information from everyone he could. The scripture that I was saying, looking for here, and of course I'm not finding it because that's the way life works. But it's basically saying how everybody says that they're, you know, they have integrity. I'm not finding it. But anyway, everyone says they have integrity, but who can find a righteous man is basically what it says. Is that not the truth? I think that was today. Yeah, today's the 11th. That'd be the one I was looking at. But is that not the truth? I mean, you know, here's another one. I love the scriptures, man. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise wins souls. What is this tree of life God's talking about? Think about it. You got to read this stuff literally. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And then he follows up and tells you what he means. And he who is wise, not perfect, not, you know, but wise, what do? You win souls. How do you win souls? By being wise. Being wise means what? You watch what you say, you watch what you do. We all screw up, folks. I'm as eccentric as anybody. I make mistakes. I say things. I get mad at people and say stupid things and have to go back and make it right. But I'll tell you what, I got a friend who's roaringly successful, who runs a humongous corporation, and his attitude's ever forward, ever forward. And I was talking to him. I'm like, sometimes you got to go back and make things right. And there's different people that pursue life that way, and it's painful, but you know, it's always moving forward and not moving back is sometimes, I understand it like, hey, don't dwell, don't hang back there, that is super wise, but at the same time, it's also avoiding certain pain, and sometimes we gotta feel. My sister lost her mother-in-law in the last day or two, and we talked for quite a while today, and her brother, or her husband is, you know, he's battling with different questions about God, like I said, you cannot experience happiness without pain. You just can't. It's interesting if we look at different cultures. We get this right, you know, hardcore Christian perspective on everything, and we're right. But look at the wisdom that you, when you have millions and billions of humans that God created, they all came from the Tower of Babel and scattered, okay? Yin-yang in Chinese. The good versus the evil, the bad versus the good, the up versus the down, the male versus the female, or not versus, but the balance of reality. And we have to have the good with the bad. We have to have a balance. You cannot, how would you know what happiness is if you don't have sadness? I mean, think about it. You get sick, real sick, for 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, when you're better, now you're normal, and normal feels fantastic. It's just the way things are. And the way we win souls is by being balanced all the time, by just admitting when we make a mistake, going back and making it right, empathizing with people, encouraging one another. All that stuff comes with, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I really believe that we live in God's great clock. He is the greatest creator, not the greatest, he's the creator, but his creation's fantastic, and there is a fantastic system. And it doesn't make sense to us oftentimes. I always think back to the tsunami of, you know, whatever year it was, 2010 or whatever, when in Indonesia that took out 250,000 people. You talk about people and questions about God, and I hear people go, well, you need to just trust God. You got to just put it in God's hands. Folks, don't talk to people that way. That is a complete lack of empathy, and don't sit there and preach at them like you're some kind of holy, like you got it all figured out. I'll bet you dimes to dollars, the people that push that out there probably have some of the greatest levels of impatience of anyone. People have a brain. We have sentience. The ability to observe ourselves observing, that's why there's philosophy. Now, the Bible says don't get caught up in it. It'll just take you down the wrong road. I agree, unless it's you're philosophizing about your relationship with God, and you've heard me talk about the whole free will concept. The concept that we have, I've struggled with this recently in the last few years. Why does God do what he does? Why does he let us suffer? But it's obvious, I get it, he's God, he made a system. Free will is the answer. You are responsible for your actions and your behavior. You are. I am. He's not going to come in and do things, you know, if someone really does something wrong to you and you want him to strike him with a lightning bolt, he's not going to do it. Why? Because wisdom is found in the extremes. What if he answered everybody's prayer like that? You know, and people are like, why does God allow this? Why does God allow that? And if I was God, I've heard that. I'm like, holy menorah. If you were God, we'd all be in trouble. If I was God, you'd all be in trouble. Because if I had a bad day, zing, zap, bang, boom, you know, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. We are not God, praise God. We don't have that authority. And so there is a balance, the yin-yang thing, the whole, everything works together for what? To the good of those who love him. To those who love him. What's that? Romans 8:28, I think. Everything works together for the good of those who love him. Now, that means that when, you know, it's like in Psalms 37, delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it goes on like that. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 or whatever it says, you know, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. It's about you. It's about me. And God wants to make us soft. When Jesus preached, he had two purposes. One was educating disciples, and two was rebuke of evil, okay? But he showed more compassion than anything. So you can educate disciples. Those are people that come to you willingly to learn. And rebuke is when you need to stand up for God. And the wicked and the foolish hate rebuke. The Bible's very clear about that. The fool hates rebuke. Rebuke is a correction, but it has to be an appropriately timed and placed event. You know, you just don't go around rebuking everybody like, you know, we've all seen it. It's kind of like the guy on the soapbox in the corner. I agree, there's people that come to Christ over that. There are different things I've seen, you know, I won't get into stories, but, you know, that can become a little bit harsh. But when we are aligned with God, we can do his will. But we have to have ourselves straightened up first. Now, God can work through us at any point, don't get me wrong, because that's, people think, oh, you know, I'm going to turn to God when I get my life squared away. No, you're never going to get your life squared away because you're a human being. And any faith that believes you can, or any faith that believes that you can, you know, become perfect on the earth and your salvation's here, gone, here, gone, here, gone. What a foolish thought process. That is an absolute narcissistic, self-focused thought process. Think of yourself. You're a speck of nothing on this earth. You're one of 8 billion people. A little tiny, weeny, bitty little tree can fall over and crush you tomorrow. God made the seas roar. He made the atmosphere above us. He made the heavens. He made the moon. I mean, it's so far beyond us. We are just free will beings, that we are his greatest experiment, if you will. The free will experiment is what I've heard Hebrews refer to it as. And he included justice, or he included mercy, his Messiah, with the justice of his righteousness. We are not in charge of our salvation. If our faith is based on our works, which, by the way, Ephesians 4:29 makes very clear, you're saved by faith, not by works. If our faith is based on work, or our salvation, I'm sorry, is based on works, then we're no different than every other religion. Why do you need Christ? Well, if I'm a good enough person, then Jesus will save me? I mean, what's the point? Every other religion in the world has this "if I'm good enough" concept. In a lot of cases, it's always a man's religion always wants to put works into the equation. They always want it to be about us. It is about faith. It's about trust and faith. Faith is the hardest thing, folks. It's not easy. Faith is brutal because you are taking your will, which we're created in God's image. We have sin nature, and we've taken God's nature and turned it to bad. We're born with, you know, innate sin just by our very nature. It's our flesh. It carries through our flesh. Again, the sentience thing, the concept that you can observe yourself observing, is proof that there is a deeper being within you. You have a spirit that can observe your flesh operating. There's two parts to you, at least in that conversation. And so your flesh is broken. And that's kind of where I was going with the scripture I couldn't find. It talks about the fact that it's sad because I've had really bad issues with people over the years, you know, stealing and whatnot. And they will always claim that they wouldn't steal and they're the greatest. I don't understand the lack of a fear of God. I really don't. I just don't get it. I don't understand how some people can go along through life and never fear the wrath. Like, they're going to think they're so cool that they're going to impress God so much that he's going to go, "You know what? You are a rock star, man. You are so awesome. I got to let you in. Oh, by the way, I made you, but still, you really impressed me." So, you know, they have, anyway, you get the point. Things like, there's all kinds of stuff here I'm looking at in the scriptures. So back to where I was rolling here, going through a little bit about who we are. We obviously, we're always involved in the purchase and sale of coins and collections, diamonds, jewelry, scrap gold, all that stuff. We're very high volume, low margin. And what I just told you is what I'm going to tell you again, is people, you know, the Bible says that people claim to be so honest and upright, and I'll tell you the same thing, I claim it. But he says, how hard is it to find a righteous man? Okay, I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect, but we do try to operate with integrity. I've dealt with a little bit of that this last week or so. with different people and money stuff and outside of the business, personal stuff, where people claim to have integrity and they do things that just aren't right. And so I guess the moral of the story there is, like I told someone here recently, you can lie to other people. I don't recommend it. But do not lie to yourself. If you mess up, admit it. If you make a mistake, admit it. Take responsibility. Let people know, you know, it doesn't. Repentance and forgiveness is huge. Repentance is everything. I had dinner the other night and I asked a gal I did something. I said, hey, will you forgive me? She goes, yeah, forgiveness is really important. And I said, so is repentance. And she just looked at me funny. And I think that people really struggle. Our pride really stands in the way of us being willing to repent when we make a mistake. So, anyway, where I'm at is I'm done scanning for this scripture. It's got to be in a different, I must have been reading the wrong thing. Our desire, we have, the thing is with a business, you can establish standards that you live by and operate by, and ours are solid as a rock. We want to offer the best pricing nationwide. We're fair, we're honest, we're upright. I mean, that's what we try to be. Everyone who works here knows it. You can't find anyone who will tell you otherwise. That's just how we operate. And it's always the question I tell my employees. I always, if an issue comes up, I always say, you always do the right thing no matter the cost. Cost money is never in the way. People that make really bad business decisions let money cloud their view. In this business, some of the biggest names on the planet have gone bankrupt for substantial amounts of money. Northwest Territorial Mint out of Seattle went down for like $40 million, and that was customers' money. Hans Tolving, who'd been around for probably almost as long as I've been alive, went under for like $60 million. And, of course, he went to jail for something, and the other guy should have. Ross Hansen out of Seattle, but they're just crooked. They do things wrong. They don't deliver metal when it's purchased. They use people's money to float the business and wait for dips in the market to bail them out. I can't imagine the stress of that existence. I would never do that. We don't do that. We never speculate with our customers' money. I mean, it's just stupid. It's something I've never done. We've got a clean slate that way, and we do what we do, and we are what we are, and we're straight up, and no matter what, if, you know, there's a deal, we lock in at Friday night at 6:30, and then Monday the metals go through the roof, and we got the money, and I lose. The customer never even hears about it. That's just the way it is. We just keep moving forward, and our word is what's most important to us of all. We also offer the highest rated privately held depository service in a long area. I don't know, Western U.S., call it what you want, doesn't matter. We have people flying in from all over the U.S. now, big shots using it. I need to probably put limitations on how much we get in each box because of the, you know, the cost and everything. But we're, you know, we've been in business since the late 90s, mid-90s, and we're solid as a rock there. A lot of people use us. It's a great service. It's the building's built from the ground up. It's nice when people, listeners, come in and see who we are and understand what I'm talking about. It is probably the nicest modern building you're going to walk into. It's built, God blessed me when I built it. He gave me the vision. It was wonderful, and it's a terrific, terrific facility built from the ground up for security, and we take good care of people, and we, our depository service is top notch. We'll say that. And without getting all into the security and the Kevlar and bullet bomb resistant polycarbonates and all the bomb proof doors and heat sensors, seismic detectors, 24/7 motion surveillance, and no one's ever allowed in there without our accompaniment, and we have the best boxes money could buy. They're rock solid, and they're each individual vaults, and you know we're trusted and established, and I do appreciate that over the years that our reputation stands. I want to be the Lloyd's of London of the coin business. What's Lloyd's of London? Lloyd's of London is the longest standing, most financially solid insurance company in the world. They're the ones that insure people's hands for $1 million. I'm not saying I want to insure someone's hand for $1 million or someone's voice. I'm just saying that we, you know, they are who they are because they've done what they've done and they've stood where they've stood and they've never faltered. And that's who we want to be. And I threw in there honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. We're high volume, low margin, and we try to offer people the best source or resource that there is. You don't have to stress out when you invest with us. We're taking care of you all the time. We care about you. We do all the research for you. We know the market. We know far more than you can. Folks, today by doing Google searches. Google is the biggest crock of doo-doo. I was listening today to this funny comedian, Jim Breuer, B-R-E-U-E-R. He's got this comedy stint on how the vaccine, the stupidity of it, like, you know, just like, oh, you want your kids educated? Take the shot. You want to go to a baseball game? Take the shot. And everyone's like, I'm going to take the shot. I'm totally safe now. And then, oh, no, wait, that didn't work. You need another shot. Oh, really? Okay. You want to, you know, and his comedy skits, amazing. And then I went to look it up on Google to get, because I didn't have the entire skit. And then I get just dozens of propaganda trash filth. It's all garbage. And even if you use DuckDuckGo, which people swear by, all DuckDuckGo does is hypothetically hide your IP address. Okay, folks, you can forget about that. Just like WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the secret way to text and communicate. It's so top secret. It's been compromised for years. There's these other ones that are supposedly not compromised, but the NSA has all that stuff compromised. If you think that your stuff is secure, forget about it. DuckDuckGo is going through Google. They just hide your IP address for general purposes. From a security standpoint, if the government ever needed it, it's immediately readily available. But you're still getting Google resources. You're still getting piles of propaganda. And you're listening going, well, Kevin, where do I go? I don't know. You got the dark web. It makes up 98% of the internet. I don't even know what that means. Never been on it. Apparently, that's where everything that matters is. I think that's where companies have all their intranet, which is intercommunications and whatnot. I don't know. But don't buy all the lies, the filth, the garbage, you know, the Joe Biden filth is just, I mean, I can't even believe the way the media protects this guy. I mean, he can't even wander. They watch him so much. They're so sick of him, and he's so foolish and dumb. It's an absolute shame. The only reason he hasn't caused us a complete and total collapse is because we still are the United States of America. And we do have the greatest military in the world. However, these superpower leaders have zero respect for him. They have zero respect. And you've got Putin doing what he wants and Xi Jinping doing what he wants. And they're going to attack Taiwan. And, you know, it just on it goes. The big one to watch is Iran. They are going to come out with the big whack daddy. And the reason they haven't done anything now is an inside source, if you will, told me they're still getting massive negotiations from brain dead Biden, and they're waiting for another humongous check. You know, they got $140 billion from Obama. That was something like the equivalent of $40 trillion to our country, which would be basically our over our yearly GDP. It was such a substantial amount. What do you suppose they did with that money? They didn't build infrastructure. Have you seen Iran building big, beautiful government-sponsored cities or transportation infrastructure? No. All that stuff is going to build up arms to create Armageddon and World War III. And the bottom line is, folks, financially, I have to go there because that's what I do. You got to be protecting yourself financially. It's easy. If you've got money, do it. It's not that big of a deal. When you buy precious metals, you're not investing. You're moving your false currency into God's money, into the solid rock resource or financial resource. That's it. I mean, you're essentially just, you're actually transferring your wealth into real money. You're not, you get my point. There's not like, oh, I'm investing in gold. Well, if you're investing in gold, you're missing the point. Gold, silver, and all the other items that comprise the sector of our industry, you're missing the entire point. The point is you're locking down your wealth accumulation in a permanent, timeless asset resource that's never going away. How do I know that? Okay, maybe I don't. But the only way I know that is because I believe in God, His Word, and the Bible. There I go, fruitcakey, right? I've mentioned it over and over. It starts in Genesis 2. He tells them about gold and where to go get it. And then welcome to economics. I think it's Genesis 4, silver. And then after that, everything financial throughout the Bible is tied to precious metals. And of course, you know, there's some precious stones. And I've mentioned, the only things mentioned biblically as true wealth attributed is gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. And I always have to explain, human life isn't slaves. It's your and my ability to produce wealth. We're the only creation of God that can produce wealth. We work and we produce. If you don't understand that economic precept or concept, you got to think about it. Go back to when our nation started in 1789 or whenever you want to call it, or 1776, the Declaration of Independence, whatever it is. And look at the growth across the country. There's so much value, so much wealth just in real estate when you fly in a plane. Where'd that come from? Man created it. Why? We take the resources that God made, no matter what any man does. If he's making synthetic polycarbonates, it's still using the elements that God provided, which is an amazing thing about our earth. It's so rich with resource. It's, you know, infinitely beyond our comprehension. But they take the elements that God provided us. They apply work energy and intelligence, often referred to as intellectual property now, with everything being intangible and on the web. Intellectual property they apply. They use their brains and they use their muscles and they create something. And even if there's a computer doing the work, the man created the computer, taught the computer how to work. And that, in turn, produces wealth. They create a product that's desirable, that has an economic demand, and then they begin selling it. If you create a product that has a great economic demand, and they're either, you have the supply and demand issue, as long as you can provide relatively, you know, necessary supply, excuse me, you can keep it going. And you know, I hate one phrase I hate is when they say, well, the greatest form of flattery is imitation. No, the greatest form of flattery is theft. of intellectual property. Imitation is taking somebody else's idea. That's why our founders put patents and trademarks in our Constitution. These men were brilliant. They protected your intellectual property, your ability to create. The one thing, we are created in God's image. What makes us unique? We create. God created us. We create. Our founders were brilliant. They put a preservation clause, hypothetically, in the Constitution to preserve your right to intellectual property. Now, attorneys come along and they convolute things and make them a big mess, and you get vultures that come in and find, you know, expired or unused, unapplied patents, and then they apply them and they find people that are creating certain products and they go after them legally just to make money, and it's super dirty. They do make it a mess. When you get into patents and trademarks, the legal jargon just becomes far beyond anything you and I can understand. It started out where they used a lot of Latin and Greek, and now they've created their own vernacular. And then we've got now what we call corporate law versus constitutional law, which means precedent, not president, but precedent. It's something that precedes. We have precedential law. If a judge makes a ruling, that now sets the bar for future rulings. And it's crazy. And that mentality of corporate law has taken us down a lot of bad roads. I mean, people want law and order, law and order, law and order. Law and order is simple. You use the Ten Commandments, okay? You don't kill. You don't steal. You don't violate another man's space or body. The Constitution and the Ten Commandments, hypothetically, in and of itself, is good enough. You know, where our U.S. law makes the Torah look like a three-word pamphlet. I mean, it's gotten so in-depth, because there is a lot of times we have to define specifics. But when I have a friend of mine's widow who's in the law industry telling me, you know, especially in Kootenai County, all their arrests are soft crime. I mean, they're not going after any property crimes. They'll arrest people for disorderly conduct, for being in an apartment complex and yelling at their spouse or fighting on the porch or whatever you want to call it. But you can go into a retail store and steal less than $1,000 in product and walk right out the front door. I had another friend telling me he was in a grocery store and he saw this family, of course, to make it all sentimental, with a grocery cart just packed with goods heading out the front door. And he said, he's like, oh no, what do I do? So he runs and talks to the manager really fast, and the manager says, well, did it look like they had less than $950 in stuff, I think? And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, well, you know, I can talk to him, but there's nothing I can do. But then they arrest soft crime. They're obsessed with DUIs. I mean, DUIs I get when you're hammered, excuse me. But if someone's drunk and they're swerving all over the road, they're a threat. Now they've got the alcohol level down so low, 0.08, it's like if you accidentally use too much perfume. And then if it's not 0.08 and they still want to say they think you're intoxicated, you're toast anyway. But you can rob the thing, you know, and even it's just, I think we've lost our focus, and I don't think it's coming back. These soft laws get crazy. These soft laws, or, you know, these soft crimes, whatever, they, you know, it's all about money. Who do you suppose Jesus was talking to or about when he talked about the tax collectors? What were they doing? Who were they? In a lot of cases, some of our police, and a lot of them aren't following into this line, but there's those who love it, they're you know, they cite you for things you don't even know you did or whatever. And then ultimately you pay a big fine. They're tax collectors. They're revenue generators. I think Spokane, I don't know the recent figures, but I know that they used to budget millions of dollars a year into the city budget for citations. And yet they say, oh, there's no quotas. But I know someone, I don't want to say it was, very powerful and they're in the city at one point, and their spouse got really interested in this because they were issuing false speeding tickets, and she went after them, and they said, oh, no, there's no quotas. Well, it affects their bonuses, their raises, and this stuff, hypothetically, to sit and give you speeding tickets while people can spray buildings with graffiti and bust windows and rip off Nordstrom's and all this. Sorry, but I just think, folks, we've lost our sight. The protect and serve thing has just been broken. I watched a video this weekend on legalization of drugs. Now I'm going to take people off. Drugs kill. They're bad. But this guy is, well, there's a number of guys, a DEA guy and a guy who was the head of drug crime in the UK. Prohibition is the mother of crime. You have to consider this because we've been brainwashed since we were young that just say no to drugs, drugs are bad. Okay, there's a lot of bad things in this world, but they're not all illegal. And the thing is, the more, you know, like this guy was saying, he was in charge of the undercover crime or drug division for a huge city for years. And they'd get most of their information on one drug gang from another drug gang. And he said each time the police would, you know, there'd be a gap. First of all, the drugs would become stronger and better. That's why there's fentanyl now, because it's compact, easier to transport. And, you know, he was using the Netherlands as an example where there's legal regulation on things. And, I mean, that is a concept that just blows our minds. But it's the same as the COVID vaccine because it's what you do to your own body. I'm not sitting here, you know, just don't. To me, I'm just using what I consider to be a constitutional libertarian perspective on freedom. Each of us is accountable for our own bodies. We can be really messed up and pay the consequence. It's sad. But the same argument goes for the Second Amendment. You know, if we're taking away somebody's right to do what they want to their own body as long as it doesn't hurt another person, the Second Amendment is the right to defend yourself, to defend your own body. Each of us has an accountability on this earth to preserve and protect our own bodies in whatever way we see fit. And the Second Amendment is the big, I mean, they're not going to quit on this stuff, folks. You watch. Biden is, he's probably dead, being kept alive by some high-powered demon. And his wife walks around with him and tells him what to say, and it's really creepy stuff. But I'm telling you, these are serious things. The Roe v. Wade overturn thing. They're going crazy over this, huh? You know why? Because they're afraid everyone's going to figure out that Roe v. Wade was not the end-all to abortion. They're afraid that people are going to go, wait a minute, I can still get an abortion? Not that I condone that either, just to make the record very clear. In fact, I condemn it. It's terrible, sad, and it's sad is what it is. But they're going to find out that all these things that they have you afraid of, they have people fearing guns, fearing the loss of your ability to kill your baby in the womb. Guns are bad because guns kill people, but it's okay to kill a baby in the womb. And if somebody kills a pregnant woman, they get charged with double homicide. So it's a baby until you decide it's not a baby. And so if a lady's on her way to get an abortion and she gets killed by a drunk driver, is it one or two murders, you know? Not that it matters, but you get my point. It's where the Bible talks about in the end times, they'll call evil good and good evil. And I'm saying we're there right now. I'm going to go with yeah. We've got, you know, all these things going on with, I could just keep going, gas prices, electricity. The electrical grid is going to get overloaded soon and come under fire. They're going to be breaking it down. They're telling us brownouts and blackouts are coming. Sorry to be so dire. I really think that we're in significant times. This is not just another swing of the pendulum in the political arena over time. The pendulum can swing, but it can also break. And it will. It is breaking. Kind of like the cracked Liberty Bell, you know. It's already broken. And so you, again, individualism, taking care of yourself, taking care of your family, preserving your wealth, protecting yourself is what you need to do. Financial freedom is true freedom. The love of money is the root of all evil. That is, I am no way am condoning, you know, lust of money, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. But money is a tangible track record of your heart's condition. We all have issues. Are you impulsive? Do you get excited and blow a bunch of money? Maybe you can afford it. Maybe you can't. If you can, it still says something about who you are. What do you buy with your money? Is it vain? Is it not vain? Do you have yourself overly restricted where you refuse yourself any of the pleasures of life that God's created? Are you frivolous so you're so wasteful with your money that you can't ever get it accumulated to a point to do anything constructive? I mean, you ever notice drug dealers? I mean, my dad was a bail bondsman. Drug dealers can make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And in general, the mass majority of them live like, you know, in bad circumstances. Because they're making illicit funds and they're not good with their money. Obviously, if they get a mansion on the hill, they might direct attention and all that. But still, that's a severe love of money. The love of money, a drug dealer probably has the love of money because he's, you know, breaking the law to get there. And we do have to respect the laws of the land. The problem is the laws are becoming more and more adversarial towards faith and towards what is good and what is right. And you got to know how to filter scripture, because people will say, oh, you got to obey the law. Okay, did you get a COVID vaccine? Then you probably didn't obey the law. You know, I mean, you got to have enough common sense to realize the government will step outside of its bounds. People have hung on crosses and been burnt alive and everything else for standing up for God's truth and righteousness and justice. And it's sad and hard, but we got to be ready for that. People are saying all kinds of things about the future. You know, the Georgia Guidestones that went down, which is interesting. I don't know for sure what those are. They're in ancient Hebrew in Georgia, and two of them got blown up, supposedly that represent Russia and China, and there's different philosophies on that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. It's not important. But I do believe that we are heading into some very dire times. It's scary because we're like, how can God allow this? God can do what God can do. When you read prophecy, you got to really test your faith and ask, do you believe in God? Can he save you? God doesn't do what we ask him or tell him. He can do what we ask. He will protect you if you're his. But the bottom line is, are you his? You know, they say if you were taken to court today and put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? I mean, if there was a prosecuting an attorney that was arguing that you're not a Christian, who would win that situation? It's stuff to think about. We have runaway inflation, folks. I mean, runaway. We're not getting fed the truth. We have, you know, they removed, Clinton removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs from the consumer price index. And even with that in mind, we're showing like not almost 9% inflation. You need to double that. It's consuming your spending power. Without getting into the details of manipulation and everything, there's only one place, honestly, that you can put your money that's biblically sound. I talked earlier about how, you know, God starts gold in the beginning of the Bible, and then silver, and everything monetarily goes through that whole process. What did Solomon do with the greatest wisdom in the world? He accumulated more gold and silver in one location than has ever been. He made God's great temple out of pure gold, pretty much. And ever since, and why did Babylon capture him? Because of the pure gold temple. Because, you know, I can't remember who it was and showed it to him, but you know, and on we go down that road. And then I've mentioned Jesus. The first gift he gets is gold, silver, and or gold and frankincense and myrrh. And even Jesus, when he's on the earth, is talking about, he has three mentions. One is gold and silver. One is fiat currency. That's render unto Caesar what's his, because who's on the coin? Caesar. It's fiat currency. Right? And then so we've got gold and silver, fiat currency, and then he talks about mammon. Mammon is the spirit of money. It's the love of money. It's the spirit of riches. God cannot, he says, man can't serve God and mammon. Mammos, which is the man-made money. It's I'm a self-made man. But he told them, when he told them to carry money, he told them to carry gold and silver. And then he told them not to carry any gold and silver. And then, of course, we get to Revelation. It's all over there. Heaven's loaded with it. And like I say, good enough for God, good enough for me. That's it. What more do you need? People will be chucking their gold and silver in the streets at the very end, God says. At the last days, the wrath, the day of wrath. That tells us it's going to be there. So that's where I hang my faith. You want it. Keep it. Buy it. Load it up. It's compact. It's transportable. It is true wealth. I guarantee it. Biblically, that's where I'm going to hang my hat. You can say, well, you know, you never know that. That's fine. I'm going to hang my hat on the Bible. On the one item that's remained the pinnacle form of wealth since the beginning of written human history. There's no real risk of loss is of value as long as you hang on to the metal. It can be stolen, so you got to preserve and protect it well, as you do anything of value. So you just have to ask yourself, is your wealth secured and preserved for an imminent collapse that lies ahead? We saw the big dump in 08, 09. That was a precursor, and even back then, I said it was a practice run. They're coming in hard, folks. They want to knock us out of the park into communism, Marxism. The only way they can do it is to take away your wealth. If you're tied up into digital currencies, paper money, paper meaning digital, not real money, you're going to get it handed to you. It is inevitable. You know it is. Everyone knows it is. I mean, it's inevitable. It's not going to go on forever. It's a broken system based on pure corruption because a bunch of banks print little pink monopoly money and say it's real, therefore it is, and this whole system runs on it, and it's stealing your ability to create wealth. It's actually taking your wealth creating ability between the loss of, you know, the leakage, if you will, of all the money being taken out of the system from the fiat currency creation to extraordinary progressive taxation. The more you make, the more you need to pay your fair share. They're leeching you dry. They want inheritance taxes. They want it all. Why? Why is that okay? Why do they not want you to have it? Because they can't control you. Being financially secure and independent gives you true freedom. Jesus said, you know, he set us free for freedom's sake. He wants us to be independent financially as much as we can. So you want that true financial freedom and liberty, security, and it does give people peace of mind. It's a tight, private, you know, personal, secure, I don't know what other words, universally recognized, universally desirable, and there's always a continuous, insatiable demand. It's a compact storage unit of wealth. We've had the largest consumption of precious metals in this year ever, and the metals market hasn't taken its big run. Prepare yourself. Now they're telling us central banks are loading up. I mean, it, more than ever, you might as well follow those who develop policy, who are the truly rich. You know, you can follow God, you can follow bankers, you can follow whoever you want. Bitcoin's in the tank, or cyber, or cryptos are in the tank. The Dow's in the tank. You know, real estate's going to take a big dive. We got interest rates coming, high interest rates as high metals growth. So you get my point. Our number is 509-444-0044. And you can actually go online and do 3-5-star reviews like Yelp or, you know, Facebook or whatever, or Google and Yelp, and just give a personal experience about what you've experienced. And we'll give you a couple free silver dollars. Call us. We'll verify it. Look forward to helping you out there. But it's got to be honest and legitimate. We appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in again. Take care. God bless. And please have a beautiful night. Thank you. Bye-bye.